Praise the Lord. Are you happy that you choose to come to this conference this weekend? Do you think your time is wasted? At least I feel my time is not wasted. I still remember the first table meeting I went to. I was just baptized the day before. And that night, at that time, the table meeting is an evening time. I was filled in spirit. So when elder stood up, the staff meeting started reading the a verse. And before he even opened his mouth, I called another song from supplement. Then the whole thing been messed up by me. So I really enjoy every time we can be together with the Lord, especially in His presence. So this weekend, the brothers actually share a lot regarding preparing ourselves for His coming back. I feel that the Lord is leading me to attack this from the other angle. You know, the Lord is also preparing us. Not just we ourselves need to prepare. We have to realize by ourselves, by our own effort, it really means nothing to the Lord. And in our experience, we will realize every time we try something, we fail, right? But praise the Lord, it was the Lord who prepared everything for us. So before I share this, I want to share with you some of the verses that I found out from the Old Testament regarding the first coming of the Lord. Just to let you know how faithful, how accurate God's word is. You know, I know the Old Testament has a prophecy regarding His coming the first time. But once I start digging, I realize, wow, that's something worthwhile to check. I would like to ask you this question. Deep in your understanding or your knowledge throughout all the books you read, has anyone, famous or not famous, whatever, has anyone exist in this world had an autobiography written even before he or she was born? Consider that. If there's such a one, that one must be a very, very important person, right? We know all the autobiography is written after some event, something happened, or some person goes through a process, then someone writes something for him. But there's one person, even before this person exists on this earth, there's an autobiography written for him already. Consider that. Do you think this person is worthwhile to study? Okay, let me read something to you. Okay, the first, talk about this one will be born of a woman. This one is called the seed of a woman. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman." The you is Satan, the serpent. "And between you, your seed, and her seed." Her seed. All right? "He will bruise you on the head, but you will bruise him on the heel." So this was written in Genesis. You know, I just don't know how to explain this. All the prophecy regarding the Lord's birth was written about 800 years, even earlier, before the Lord was born. Just consider that, how important this person is. Okay, the second thing is, consider his birthplace. Micah 5:2. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, so little to be among the thousands of Judah, from you there will come forth to me he who is to rule, to be ruler in Israel, and his going forth are from ancient times, from the days of eternity." Pharisees, they found this verse. They know where Jesus will be born, but they don't care. They don't care. Just consider this. All right. And his name, Isaiah 7:14, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and will bear a son, and he will call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew proved this in the book of Matthew, right? According to man, his name called Emmanuel. Consider that. Even before this one was born, his name was given. Okay, next thing. His life. Isaiah 53, 2 and 3. For he grew up like a tender plant before him, and like a root out of dry ground, and has no attracting from form nor majesty that we should look upon him, nor beautiful appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Zechariah 9:9. Exalt greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now your king comes to you. He is righteous and bears salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, even upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Even the Lord's transportation is mentioned before he was born. Consider this. All right, next, his betrayal. Zechariah 11, 12, and 13. And I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, do not bother. So they weigh out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. That's exactly the number of silver pieces Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. And Jehovah said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price that I am priced with by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter into the house of Jehovah. So that's exactly the use of those 30 silver pieces. It was used to purchase a potter's lamb. And his death, Isaiah 53, 7. He was oppressed, and it was he who was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is dumb before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53, 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he alone bore the sin of many and intercede for the transgressors. Psalm 22:1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groanings. 22:16. For dogs surround me, a company of evildoers enclose me, they pierce my hand and feet. Verse 18, they divide my garments to themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. That's exactly what the Lord went through. Can you believe? Can you ever imagine a person, even before his birthplace, his name, his transportation, his betrayal, and even his death, even what those soldiers will do to his garment will be detailed even 800 years before his birth. Brothers and sisters, if this one we should not focus, then who else can we focus? If this one we do not pay attention, who else should we pay attention to? Right? And this one is our Lord. Okay, the last one is his resurrection. Psalm 49, 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, For he will receive me, Selah. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible is focused on one person. This person is Jesus Christ. Because he's so important. So even before he was born, many verses talking about. I'm just picking some example here. Okay? And hope that I will whet your appetite. You'll go back to read your Bible with a line of prophecy regarding the Lord. Now, all this we have read, you see, all being fulfilled. Right? Praise the Lord. We are living in this age. We are living in 21st century. Right? So everything become history to us. And we know what is the fact, what is the false. Right? So everything here, which is before the Lord's birth, happened after the Lord's birth. So, now let me ask you. I know yesterday, many of you raised your hands, said that, I believe the Lord will come in the second time. I have a little concern. Because say, I believe, so easy, right? But until I see you prepare for his coming, then I will believe that you do believe it. If you say, I believe, and then you go back to do your regular day-to-day, playing game, do whatever, then I will have a little question mark on you, doubting that whether you are ready or whether you truly believe or not. But I just want to use these verses to prove to you, since the Lord's first coming is so real and so factual, in a sense, you don't, there's nothing to deny, right? Even the prophecy and with the true experience prove the Lord's first coming. And I just want to let you know that surely he will come. And he himself also say, I will come. Then what is our attitude? Right? So in the past few messages, brothers helping us to encourage us to prepare for this, right? Our heart, our attitude should be prepared for this. Now, today, what I want to share to you is that, you know, from the other side, the Lord is preparing us as well. So not only you need to prepare, God already prepared you. Maybe even before you were born. Right? So, let me just give you a little testimony so we can go on to the outline. I went to full-time training in 1986. I don't know how Brother David decided to go to full-time training, but my full-time training is a little kind of a detour. Before I went to military service, I sat down with my parents and I told them that after the service, I want to serve the Lord full-time. Then that fellowship ended up very, very ugly. So we will have a big fight. My father didn't want me to serve full-time. So during the period of time, I was thinking, okay, now my father didn't want me. So after I leave the service, then how about I would just like a Brother Nee doing a money-making full-timer. So I would just take a job. My leaving day of my service was 1986, August 31st. If Brother David knows, that's already past the full-time training. Full-time training started August 4th with 2 weeks of pre-training, if you still remember. So if I leave according to my schedule leaving time, I will miss the full-time training. Somehow, the Lord makes some arrangement. What arrangement? Anyone interest Zodiac? Chinese Zodiac, no? Okay, I was born in rabbit year. You know, the next Zodiac is dragon. Chinese has a kind of a thought or concept. Dragon is the blessing year. So many parents, they want to give birth to their children in dragon year. So we have much more human resource. We have much more young men can be put into the force. So I was pushed off. For my due date. So I actually left the service June the 30th, two months earlier. I didn't know anything. I just think I want to go become a money-making full-timer. Then there's a white horse training. The brother just infuse the burden, encourage those young people who still not signed up yet, sign up. So I went to the conference, I was moved. So I went to my hall and talked to the co-worker brother, asking, I want to join the full-time training, but it's already past the due date. The deadline for registration already passed. What should I do? So he said, go find this brother. He's responsible for registration. So I went to that brother, and that brother said, go to this brother. He's doing the data entry, so just let him know. So I went to the brother. I said, I want to join the full-time training, and this brother asked me to look for you. He said, don't worry, you're already in the database. So I was in the full-time training before I even know I was in the full-time training. Okay, there are many more stories. What I want to let you know is that through this, I realized, at least to me, in my experience, the Lord paid a lot of price on his end to arrange many things. So those who love him will be able to love him in a way that he wants us to love him. So brothers and sisters, I just hope that you realize today, yes, you may stand up and say, Lord, I love you. But eventually you will realize that it's by the Lord's mercy that you can love him. By ourselves, really, I cannot love him even a bit. So today, let me, from the angle, turning from the other angle to say, Lord's coming back needs you. Lord, not only you need to become overcomer so that he can come back. He needs you to become overcomer so that he can surely come back, because his comeback somewhat hinge on us. You know, this is a love story, right? We sing the song, the Lord come back for his bride, right? If the bride is not ready, there's no reason for the bridegroom to come back, right? So here, when we talk about the Lord's second coming and preparing for Lord's second coming, actually, it means a lot to both God and to us. So hopefully, throughout this weekend, through all this fellowship, we will develop a kind of a loving feeling with the Lord, okay? Not just because, oh, I don't want to get into the Great Tribulation, so I want to do my best to avoid the Great Tribulation, but rather is that, Lord, you need me to be overcomer so you can come back. Lord, I love you. I want you to come back quickly. I want to make myself ready so you have means to come back. So I hope that this will become our attitude, not just try to avoid all this problem and that problem. So let's come back to the outline. And at the end of this age, the Lord will surely come back. And we have shared a little bit, talking about both the Old Testament and New Testament promise that the Lord is coming again. So I hope that I will impress you enough that today our Lord will surely come back. This last song we sing, talking about some will be happy when the Lord comes back. But some, when the Lord's come back, it will have nothing to do with them. And what kind of person you want to be? You want to be the group of people that the Lord has come back for? Or you want to be the other group of people that the Lord doesn't care if he come back? The Lord has come back for this group of people. That group of people is the one who really love the Lord, love his appearance. Okay, so let me go through the outline. You can have some more fellowship. The Lord's second coming, will take place at the end of the age. Can you take that period off? It's a typo there. Sorry. As indicated in Scripture, One, the Lord's coming will take place soon after the restoration of Israel as a nation. So the brothers already shared this. It's very interesting. I have never seen any country or any kingdom, okay, after they lost their nationality for 2,000 years, will come back again. Throughout the history, many kingdoms gone, right? Many kingdoms gone. But Israel, such a small country or small kingdom, come back to existence. Just consider that. I just don't know what to say. Just consider all these things. Do you think this is just by a political maneuver will happen? I don't think so. It's God doing something. God is preparing something, right? Okay, two, the place of the Lord's return will be the Mount of Olives, where he also ascended. So even now, his place of descending, coming back, being named. All right, he's coming back, his place of coming back. Third, the time of Lord's secret coming, his parousia is not known, nor can it be known. So I want to explain a little bit what is parousia. Does anyone know what parousia means? Young people. You don't know, okay? Anyone who went to training know what parousia means? Okay, Ethan? His second coming? No. No. Huh? Okay, parousia in Greek means his presence. His presence. Okay? Today, we have Lord's presence. But this presence is invisible. Invisible, right? But one day, the Lord will present himself bodily to us. And that's all that's all of us who love him hopeful. Okay? We are looking for this day, that one day we will see the Lord physically appearing to us. All right? But the time, we don't know. So we need to be watchful. Right? We don't want when the Lord appear and we're not ready yet. Okay. Four, the time of the Lord's open coming can be measured and marked out. Okay, so here we're talking about the two parousia. One is his invisible parousia. According to the Bible, it tells us the Lord will descend from his throne to the sky. He'll be clothed with cloud and waiting for the overcomers to meet him, right? That's his invisible parousia. And then at the end of Great Tribulation, he will descend with his bride to the earth to finish the last part of his work and then to end this age. And I will not say too much about it. So, the time of the Lord's coming, point five, will be as the days of Noah and Lot. And this also shared by the brothers. So, you know, I want to share one more point is that my interest regarding the world situation. You know, when I was a young man, I was very naive. I don't care about the world situation. I just care about playing, right? I don't know your situation. Maybe you are more care about the world situation than me, but I start paying attention to world situations through Brother Lee's book. There's one book called The World Situation and God's Move. And I read it as a young person in my high school years. And I don't know what to say. Wow. I did not know I can look at history, the world situation in such a way. That's according to God's view, not according to man's view. Yeah. Especially, do you know the Persian Gulf War that George Bush Sr. fought? Brother Lee has a conference for that. He has a conference for that. Apparently, if anyone of you know this, the whole incident, it was like an oil war, right? Iraq took occupant of Iraq Kuwait, I'm sorry. And then start the war, right? There's one thing that's interesting is that the news report, Saddam Hussein said that if you bomb me, that means US bomb him, then all his missiles will aim to Israel. So I will bomb Israel if you bomb me. And Brother Lee, in that conference, he said that this is nothing regarding to oil, but it's a war about who is the master of good land. Because throughout the history, after the Israel exists, no any surrounding country can defeat Israel. So if any of this country, Muslim country, can defeat Israel, and they will be the king. They'll be the king. And I never, ever thought about this kind of view. And since then, I start paying attention to the world situation. You know, today we saw the Europe situation, right? And it has to happen. And we also saw the United States situation. It also needs to be happen this way. However, deep in my heart, I just felt that the world situation exactly going on according to the Lord. How about us? How about us, right? Well, when the Lord comes back, we will be ready. We will be ready. And that's a big question mark we have to check with ourselves. All right? So today, the Lord still give us time. Still give us time. So that we may love him more. We can enjoy him more. So when he comes, we will not be put to shame. Okay. Point B, the Lord's second coming will begin secretly at the beginning of the Great Tribulation and will conclude with his open appearing at the end of the Great Tribulation. So, point one, the beginning of the Lord's parousia is his descent from the heavens to the air with the rapture overcomers. Two, during the Lord's parousia, he will judge the believers who are raptured to the air and will marry all his overcomers. Three, at the conclusion of the Lord's parousia, he and his newlywed overcomer bridal army will defeat Antichrist and his armies at Armageddon. So I already briefly covered this. The Lord's coming back. Let me say it again. The Lord is coming back, and he's surely coming back. But whether he's coming back will be benefit to you, will be a joy to you, it's up to you. It's up to you. And I really appreciate, you know, when I was in your age, I did not hear this word. It was in the much later time. And I just feel your generation is a much blessed generation. In my time, we do have a conference, but we don't have training. We don't have a summer school of truth. We don't have a way to very succinctly, or you may say systematically, to study all these truths. And in my young people meeting, we just sing song, pray reverse, sing song, pray reverse. And if anyone has some feeling, inspiration, share in a meeting. But we enjoy the Lord. Even though our meeting to you kind of primitive, you may feel bored. You may feel bored in that kind of meeting, but we were just burning because we touch the Lord in the meeting. I still remember in one of the young people meeting, we just sing song, pray, read, and then we actually write, we call spiritual song. That means that we just write a song right there, and we sing right away. And that kind of meeting lasts for 3 hours. And after that, my jaw was hurt. Why? Because I did not know I was smiling all the time. I was enjoying the Lord, and I forgot the time. So when we end the meeting, we said, what, already 3 hours? I hope that all of young people will have that kind of experience. You know, this is not far-fetching. You know, if you really, in your spirit, you learn to enjoy the Lord, then you will enjoy it, you will experience this. So I hope that this will really encourage all of us, love the Lord. You know, the Lord is rich. I always told young people I have a lot of story. I have a lot of story. Some of the young people already feel bored about my story. Anyway, you know, look at all the persons mentioned in the Bible. Every person has a story. But their story is not just their own story, but their story is their story with the Lord. That's the key. Don't say, oh, I grew up this way. I have many things. Sorry, that's my alarm. I already go over my time. But anyway, I hope that when we come back together again, and you have your story, not just your own story, but your story with the Lord. And through this, you'll be prepared by the Lord. And also with your cooperation. So today, when we say preparing for the Lord's coming back, there's two sides. First, God is preparing environment. He prepare your parents. He prepare your siblings. He prepare your school. He prepare your job. Prepare your spouse. Even prepare your children. Okay, that's for the older ones. For what purpose? For what purpose? Prepare you to receive his coming back. And on our side, we need to cooperate with him, right? Don't say, oh, why I'm getting this kind of teacher, right? Why this bus ride is so long, right? No, I'm not looking at you. Well, I'm just using this. So all this is prepared by the Lord. So we can be prepared and we can prepare ourselves by cooperating with the Lord. So when the Lord comes back, we will say, praise the Lord, you're back, right? Amen. And Brother Ben will continue. Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord is preparing us and we are preparing ourselves. Well, I really dislike going last because I've just been enjoying all weekend. And I kind of want to just respond to what all the brothers have been sharing all weekend. It's been so enjoyable. We want to give you guys plenty of time to have another overflow. You know, last night's meeting probably would have gone 3 hours if we had just let the young people keep going. Of course, we'd probably still be sleeping right now if we had done that. So you definitely have that experience as well. Let me share something that I'm just enjoying right now before I forget. You know, all weekend I've been enjoying this point on the small things, not despising the small things in our living. And actually reminded me of a verse in Matthew 25. Listen to this. This is also in regards to the Lord's coming. It says, the master said to him, this is the good and faithful slave. These are all the believers. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So our faithfulness, even as young people, being faithful in the smallest things in our life is a preparation for the much, much bigger and greater things that the Lord has in store for us. Last night, the brothers talked a lot about, use the example of the way we dress. There's so many applications for this, right? And I was actually thinking something that's been touching me recently is this matter of being on time. We know that we want to be the first fruits, right? We want to be the early overcomers. And, you know, what we love, we will really prepare for. So my daughters, they're not here, so I can use them as an example. I can use my son as an example if he wants. Okay. They love going on vacation. They just love vacations. And so when we have a vacation, my daughters will start packing like a week in advance. I'm not joking. They'll start packing days in advance. I'm like, we're not leaving for a week. Why are you packing now? Because they love it. They're preparing themselves for it. Now, what about school? In school, they're last minute, you know, everything's up until the very last minute. Where's your books? Where's your lunch? Where's this? Where's that? Oh, I forgot this. I forgot that. You know, they just barely get in on time, right? Just like the Maryland brothers with the registration, just barely getting across the finish line, you know, if they even make it to school on time at all. So what we love is what we prepare for. You know, I can't remember now if Brother Aaron mentioned this morning, but you know, how we come to the Lord's table. This is the Lord's table really is the most important meeting of the week. And how we come to the Lord's table, our preparation for the Lord's table, even our preparation the night before, setting our alarm, preparing, you know, our clothes, getting to the meeting on time, all of that in a way is sort of a practice for the Lord's return, I think. In some ways, it's very good to practice to be on time. You know, for those of us, we've talked a lot about the full-time training. You know, they say the full-time training is like 20 years of the church life crammed into 2 years, right? So a lot of us who went to the training, we just can't help but share from our experience there because it's like 2 years or 20 years. And so very early on in the training, I think it was my second term. So we have the full-time training, and then at the end, they have the semi-annual trainings, right? You guys know what that is, right? Where we cover like the crystallization of one of the books. So that's like a big training and all the saints come. And the full-time trainees, they also participate. And in Anaheim, you have the training. You have to be there on time. I don't know if they still do this. I haven't been there in a while, Richard, but they'll lock the doors, right? So if you're late, it's just like Matthew chapter 25 with the virgins. If you're late, they will lock you out. And the usher brothers, you can't say, well, look at me, I'm special. Or you're my friend, let me in. You are locked out. So my second term of the training, of the full-time training, at the end, we had this semi-annual training. And I was staying with my dad in a hotel. And so I kind of got knocked out of my regular good habits. Okay, and so my dad and I were late to the second meeting. The third meeting. And this was also the meeting that full-time trainees were going to be tested. And those of you who know the full-time training, it's already prepared ahead of time. And I had a point. Like I was part of this routine. And on top of that, I was late and the brothers would not let me in. I begged the brothers. I said, I'm going to be tested. And they said, sorry, you know, this is a training. And so I was locked out. And they sent us to this overflow room. It was about this size. And there were a lot of saints there. And you'd be surprised who was there. There was one brother, I won't tell you his name, although none of you probably know him, but he was the leading full-timer from the campus where I graduated from. So it would be like if you were late and you locked out and you went to this overflow room and like Jeremy and Paul Neeson were there. That's what it would be like, right? And I remember this brother praying. We were all, you know, we're still in the training. We need to get into the spirit. But there was a sense of regret in all the prayer. It was so funny. And I remember this brother praying in particular, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our slothfulness. Forgive us for being late. We still want something out of this message. And I remember thinking at that time, this is a foretaste of the outer darkness. There was no weeping. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. There was no gnashing of teeth. But there was a little taste of regret. So, and that's a valuable part of the training, actually. You know, you learn from your mistakes. So young people, it's okay. No one, especially when you're young, no one's expecting you to be perfect. But we learn from our failures. When you have a failure, you know, the Lord is preparing everything, including all the failures you're going to have. We need to learn from those failures. We need to give those to the Lord. Anyways, I remember just watching this test. I mean, I was going to weep watching this test because I knew, I was like, okay, my point's coming up. And then the camera turned and it was like, I remember this one brother, he was just looking around for me. And he realized, I don't think he thought I was raptured. I think he was just like, he must have missed the meeting. So he just faithfully stepped in and just read the outline and shared what he could. And I thanked him afterwards for taking my place. But brothers and sisters, you know, all that we're sharing this weekend, there's two sides to it. You know, the book of the Thessalonians, they were a new church, young believers. Paul spoke every chapter of 1 Thessalonians, right? He mentions the Lord's coming. He mentions it as an encouragement, as a hope. So I hope you all are very encouraged this weekend. I hope you're full of hope in the Lord's coming. But also you need to receive this warning. You need to receive this warning. Look at Matthew. Let's turn to the verses real quick for message 4. Let's read Matthew 24, 42 through 44. It's on page 22 of your book. How about the sisters read 42, brothers 43, and all together 44. Amen. Okay, so if you read this, it's actually it's talking about this householder. If he had known, if I had known when the thief was coming, I would have prepared a watch and not have allowed my house to be. So it's in the past tense. So there's a little bit of regret there, right? The householder regrets not preparing a watch. And so this also is a little bit of warning, a little bit of warning regarding regret. You know, in the outer darkness, where the immature, the non-overcoming believers will go, says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know if you've ever seen someone weep and gnash their teeth with regret. I don't even know where you would go to see something like that. Maybe someone who's made such a terrible mistake that they're just overwhelmed with shame. It's a terrible thing to watch. You know, like if someone does an accident, for example, drunk driver, and they're apologizing to the family in court. It's such a painful thing to watch. But we know from the word, there will be, in the outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, we really don't want to be there, right? We want to be at the wedding feast, enjoying the Lord as our bridegroom. Okay, so we're not trying to scare everyone, but as a young person, this deeply impressed me that I don't want to experience that regret. Right now, before us, we've been given this information, right? I'm sorry, now you know. With great information or great power comes great responsibility. Actually, that's a verse, right? He who is given much, or to whom much is given, much will be expected. I'm sorry, now we know. We have the information. We know the signs. We know a little bit how we can prepare ourselves. So we have to make this choice. There's a famous hymn, "Will you be an overcomer? Will you make this choice?" I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know we all want to be an overcomer. But I would encourage you, before this weekend's over, find some time to be alone and have a transaction with the Lord. Pray something very specific with the Lord. You can say, "Lord, I can't do it. I'm nothing, but I make this choice. I choose to be an overcomer. I give myself to prepare myself to be an overcomer. Gain what you have to gain in me. You know, be everything to me as I pursue you to be an overcomer." Okay, so let's go to the, I only have, if you look at the outline, I only have a few points to cover. So this is really good. I don't want to go the full time. Let's go to Roman numeral 2. Let's just read both of those together, okay? Or the whole, all those points together. So all together, let's read 2. Brothers A, sisters B.
In the Lord, evil come.
Brothers. Sisters. Okay, so this is a lot of review. I know in the reading after the first message, it talked about the Lord coming as a thief. And this verse, Luke 21:36, this has actually been on three of our four outlines so far. So a lot of this is review. I just want to emphasize one thing regarding the thief. You know, a thief comes to steal the precious things, right? A thief comes to steal what is most valuable. You know, where I live, I've shared a lot about crime where I live. Laura, I know, appreciates this as well, having also lived in D.C. You know, the best defense against a thief really is just don't have anything that's valuable. That's the solution. You know, like our family, we don't have a TV. So you're going to break into my house. What are you going to steal? If I have my phone and my wallet with me, the next most precious thing is maybe my work computer. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even belong to me. Go ahead and steal it. The Department of Homeland Security might not like that, but sometimes I see my neighbors, they've got gigantic TVs and you can see them through the window. It's like they're asking. Of course, they all have security systems. But the best defense against the thief is just to not have anything valuable. In places like San Francisco, I know people just leave their car doors unlocked. Some people leave their, I saw this thing online, they just leave their trunks open. So they're like, don't damage my car. There's nothing worth stealing in here. You know, don't take anything. You know, over Labor Day, I shared a package theft story, right? I have another package theft story. This one's better, okay? So my neighborhood has a lot of package thieves. Well, there's just one or two guys. They just come around on their bicycles and they just grab a small package that they can put in their jacket and ride their bikes off. And if it feels heavy and it's small, it seems like it might be more precious, right? I don't know what they think is in there, like silver and gold or an iPhone, you know, but if it's small and it's kind of weighty, they'll take it. If it's really big, they'll just leave it because they can't carry it. So I had this one package come in, and Amazon is just brutally efficient. You know, you order something, and it might come that night while you're sleeping. I'm like, can you wait a day? I don't need it between 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. Well, one night I ordered two things, very worthless things, hair gel and doggy poop bags. Small and heavy. And then I woke up the next morning and I looked and it said, they've already been delivered. It's like, how could that be? And I went down and they were gone. So I was really frustrated because it was like $15 and now I have to order it again. So what I did was I was going to go for a little bike ride for some exercise. So I went on my bike ride. I was frustrated. On my way back, I was coming around the corner by my house and I saw a torn envelope on the ground. And I went over and I looked and it had my name on it. And I was like, And I went over to some bushes. The thief hadn't even waited. He had torn open everything before he was even that far from my house. And he saw it was all just worthless. So there were like these rolls of doggy poop bags all in the bushes. And my hair gel was everywhere. And I just gathered it on. I got all my stuff back. You know, because he couldn't wait to see what it was. He's like, oh, this is small and heavy. But he saw it's worthless, useless. So he just tossed it aside. So I was able to get it back. Brothers and sisters, when the Lord comes, we don't want to be the doggy poop bags. Right? We want to be precious. We want to be precious to him. The thief comes for what is precious. So what is precious to the Lord? What is precious to God? Love, yes. Well, more simply, Christ himself is precious. Right? That song we sang last night? He's the most precious one. It's actually what's most precious to God is more of Christ. More of Christ himself. You know, when the Lord returns as the bridegroom, he wants to come for the bride that matches him, right? Adam, when Adam saw Eve, finally he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I want to come for this one. This is the one I'm coming for. Because she matches me. So the more time, brothers and sisters, we spend with the Lord, the more time we spend enjoying Him, reading His Word, being constituted with Him, all the time we spend contacting the Lord in the church life, it's actually making us match the Lord Himself. And this is what makes us precious. I want to share one other thing about this. You know, Brother David mentioned these verses. You know, Daniel was actually someone who God sent His messenger and called him precious. Daniel 9, let me read a couple of verses. Daniel 9, 26. At the beginning of your supplication, I think it's one of the angels speaking to Daniel, right? From God as a messenger. He says, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went forth, and I have come to tell you, for you are preciousness itself. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Wow, what if an angel appeared and told you, you were preciousness itself? This is chapter 10, verse 11. He said to me, Daniel, man of preciousness, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand in your place, for I have not been sent to you. And when he had spoken this to me, And when he had spoke this word to me, I stood up trembling. Okay, you are preciousness itself. Daniel, man of preciousness. I hope we all have the aspiration to be such to the Lord, right? Oh, your name is Daniel. Daniel Miranda, preciousness itself. Brother Ian, man of preciousness, right? May the Lord have that view for us, then surely not only will we be ready, but we will even hasten, right? In Peter, it says, I think it's 2 Peter, it says we can hasten the Lord's appearing. The Lord is just waiting. He's waiting for young people. He's waiting for all of us to become preciousness itself. That is to match Him. Okay, I want to promote a book. We've been doing a lot of book promotions, but I really want to promote this one. It's only 2 or 3 chapters. I think I have an older version that's 2, and I think the newer one is 3. But it's not very expensive. I think if you went to the Serving Ones in your locality and said, can you buy this book for all of us? I think they would do it, right? I'll buy it for all the young people in DC. Okay, I'll buy it for everyone. If your locality doesn't want to. But they will. This is a book called Men Who Turn the Age. Okay, and it's about Samuel and about Daniel, but it's mostly about Daniel. And I really love the chapter. The last chapter is the characteristics of the men who turn the age. Okay, this is just how we prepare ourselves, our being ready. And let me just read you the headings, but there's one I'm really burdened for. The first one is separation from an age that follows Satan. Okay, we surely need to spend a lot of time with you young people talking about the world and about the age, but not enough time this morning. But the first characteristic is separation from the age. The second characteristic of a man who turns the age is being joined to God's desire through His Word. So I'm really encouraged. I know many of you have a Bible reading schedules together and corporately and individually. We are joined to God's desire through His Word. So we need to read the Word of God. Third, and this is the one I'm really burdened for, is cooperating with God through prayers. Okay, I'll come right back to that one. But the last one is, the last characteristic of a man who turns the age is not caring for one's life. Right? Does that remind you of anything? Right? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their soul life, even unto death. So the fourth characteristic is not care for one's life. But this one on cooperating with God through prayers. Let me read a few highlights from this, okay? This is the kind of characteristic of Daniel, who was a man who turned the age. Daniel had a third characteristic. He was a man who was always praying. His prayers were not at all common. His prayers were prayers that turned the age. Every time he encountered some crucial matter, he prayed before God. He absolutely, or he believed absolutely in prayer. He believed in prayer because he believed in God and not in himself. Right? That is an overcomer. We realize we're just weak. We're helpless. We can't do anything in ourselves, but we can pray. When we pray, we are asking God to do it. We're saying, we're declaring even to God's enemy, we don't believe in ourselves, but we believe in him. The highest expression of a man who cooperates with God is in prayer. Daniel was a person living before God. He depended on prayer to do what man could not do. And he depended on prayer to understand what man could not understand. He was a person who cooperated with God in prayer. This is so good. I could just keep going, but let me read this. In chapter 10, we see, and okay, I really appreciated Brother David's explanation. You know, Daniel is not always a young person. We just think that he was just this 15-year-old through this whole thing. But how old was he around chapter 10? Chapter 9, chapter 10? Like, he was a... Okay, so by then, he was a very mature brother. Okay, so I'm not expecting, eighth-grade brothers to be like this. I myself am not like this. We are learning, right? We're learning. We're training. We're being perfected. We're being strengthened. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But listen to this. In chapter 10, we see not only was Daniel a praying person, but a persistent praying person. He asked God for understanding and direction. He prayed and prayed steadfastly. The Bible tells us that he received God's answer. Wait, let me skip ahead here. There was a battle. Actually, I'll go back. The Bible tells us that he received God's answer on the first day of his petition. From the first day, God had answered his prayer by sending an angel to show him what would happen to the children of Israel. Yet when the angel came to the air, he met Satan's prince who withstood him. There was a battle. In other words, when God in heaven was about to join himself to man on earth, he met Satan's resistance. And there was a 21-day battle. Although God had already heard Daniel's prayer, Satan resisted in the air and would not allow God's answer to reach Daniel. Nevertheless, Daniel was persistent in prayer. He persisted in prayer for 3 7-day periods. As a result, the angel came to tell him how God had heard his prayer and how he would deal with his people. All of this shows that Daniel was a praying person. He prayed every day, and he prayed for everything. Anyways, there's a lot more in this chapter. But my burden as I wrap up is, brothers and sisters, we want to give you many practical handles, things to experience, to enter into, even after this retreat. When you go back, I'm actually excited for you all. All the things that we've heard, all the things that we've spoken, we can bring this back and begin to apply them, begin to experience them and enter into them even in your daily living, right? We have a test tomorrow morning. Who has to go back to school, right? So when we go back to school, we can apply all the things that the Lord has spoken to us. Right? We can begin to stitch our wedding garment, the righteousnesses of the saints. How will we dress when we go to school? What will you tell your friends when they say, "What did you do this weekend?" That's a good opportunity to sow a seed, a good opportunity to preach the gospel. Right? What will we do when our parents nag us about something? How will we respond? Right? All of these things we can begin to apply. Well, I'm burdened for our prayer life. I'm burdened for our prayer, you know. For Daniel to pray this way as a man of 83, he had to have been praying this way his entire life. So I want to encourage you all. You know, Luke 21 says, beseech. That's a very specific way to pray. That's a way to pray with urgency and to pray specifically, right? In Luke 21, it says, beseech that you would prevail to escape the things that are about to happen. But we should beseech the Lord for many things, including his coming, including his move on the earth, including the brothers and sisters who are not with us, who are struggling, right? There are many things to pray for, and you young people can learn to beseech, even at your age. You know, sometimes when I pray with the brothers, you know, they're good for maybe a round or two. And then that's about all the endurance. That's about all the endurance the young brothers have. And that's okay. You know, when I was a young brother, I didn't have much endurance either. And the serving ones would ask me to pray, and I would pray, and then they would pray, and then I would pray again. And then I was like, when are we going to stop? Because I'm running out of things to pray. Right? We have to build up the endurance. Let me read some verses. If you look at the cross-reference for this word beseech, it's really good. Let me read 4 or 5 verses, and then we can wrap up here. Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable at the end that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, endure in tribulation, persevere in prayer. Right? That's like Daniel. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who was one of you, a slave of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, you guys all know this one. Unceasingly pray. We could add that as a memory verse. That's a nice and easy one, right? Unceasingly pray. 1 Peter 4:7, okay, this one's good. But the end of all things has drawn near. Therefore, be sober-minded and be sober unto prayers. One more, Ephesians 6:18. You guys should all know this one. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So again, here we have watching. We have perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So we watch by praying, and we persevere in prayer. Actually, our prayer is the best preparation. When we read the word, when we gather, we need to contact the Lord in prayer. So I want to encourage you young people, consider. Obviously, the Lord's table meeting is the most important meeting. I would say maybe the second most important meeting of the church. Maybe not for you young people, but the second most important meeting is the prayer meeting of the church. I didn't start going to the prayer meeting until I was in college, and I could barely last that entire hour. Maybe the young people could come for 15 minutes, once a month, even 10 minutes. I guarantee you, those 10 minutes would be so encouraging to all the saints, right? Even if the young people just popped in and said, young people, what should we pray for? We pray for whatever the young people want to pray for. We let the young people pray. And then, okay, young people, go. Okay, go get bubble tea. See you in a month. You know? And then next month, 15 minutes. You know? And build it up. Build it up. By the time you get to college, surely you will be able to strengthen and supply the saints, even in the prayer meeting. Right? This is a key practice in our preparation for the Lord's coming. Amen. Okay, well, I think that's good.